Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 1043 The Fan.
It's a busy day here on Stokely and Zach. We just talked about the Thanksgiving and the Christmas Day slate. Cover the Jerry Jeudy stuff a little bit. The Avalanche second-round opponent has come into focus. We'll transition to that here shortly. And there's still just so much meat on the Broncos' bone in terms of the schedule release. And then we'll ultimately go through and do the most useless exercise in sports talk radio and go through and assign wins and losses. I literally can't wait for the activity.
Yeah, me too. I went through it and I've done it.
Oh, you have?
Yes, but I don't know what the record equals. So I kind of want to surprise myself. I just went through it, I think that's going to be a win. That's going to be a loss. That's going to be a win. I don't know what it equals. So yeah, I don't know if
perfect.
It's 10 wins, 8 wins, 11 or 12. I have no idea. And so it's going to be a little bit of a surprise. I can't wait to do it to see what it equals.
Yeah.
What
I
the
love
record
it.
Is.
I absolutely love it. It's got new spirit behind it with a new quarterback and just feels like anything is possible here for us in Denver, Colorado.
Anything is possible.
Kevin Garnett.
That's your guy.
You stink. All right. You have seen plans for what an updated Mile High could look like?
Yes.
Okay.
I did earlier in the week. And it's not from Peyton. You know, people are like, oh, yeah, you got that. No, not at all. What I saw was the plans for the surrounding area of Mile High. What they could do to make it more of a, you know, just a whole day type of environment there,
sure.
Right?
A game day experience, other than just standing in a parking lot.
We talk a lot here. We're like, because I went to Foxborough with my son last year, and I was like, that's really cool. And they got restaurants right out there. They got shops, and it's just kind of cool to walk around. Get a cold one at a little restaurant right there.
Yeah.
You got TVs and you got, you know, Red Robins and all this stuff. And it's really cool, right? It enhances your game day experience rather than just going to the stadium and you got nothing to do. And it's like you're looking for a tailgate place to hang out at. This with the Broncos, and if, you know, it's an option. If they do, it's going to be on the south side of the stadium and, you know, the parking lot area there, no more. But you're not talking about just what I like about this. You're not talking about just game day experience. Okay. You're talking about year long experience. You're talking about people living. You know, you got high rises there. You have, so it's not just like, okay, this thing is going to be used, you know, whatever amount of time throughout the course of the football season. No.
Your 8 or 9 home games.
Right. No. This is going to be a place where people are living. It looked awesome. I mean, I was impressed. I mean, they had a place for a little amphitheater type of deal right outside the stadium area. I mean, it was impressive. You're talking about high-rise, you know, apartment townhomes or whatever you call them, living. Really, really was impressive. I didn't know there was that much room and that much space to be able to do something like that. But I walked away when I saw everything. I was like, wow, because I didn't know if it was possible. Like, you look at around the area, you're like, well, okay, yeah, they get the parking lots right there and stuff, and then you have some room on the other side of it. Like, what could you actually put there? But when you see the plans and what is possible and what it looks like, man, it's impressive. It kind of changed my thought process of, because we've been debating. I heard Nick and Cecil last night talking about the stadium. Where do you want it? Where do you want to put it? And I don't think a dome, a roof is possible at Mile High. You know, if you decided to update the stadium.
Right.
And then put the entertainment district, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. What should I call it? The entertainment?
Well, first I want to thank our listeners in Larkspur for making 104.3 The Fan part of your day, first and foremost.
Larkspur? That's Bearcats over there, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Bearcats stomping grounds. But the entertainment district, what should I call it?
I don't really know because I'm not quite sure exactly how much entertainment are we talking about. You said there could be an amphitheater.
Yeah.
a restaurants?
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm guessing, and I didn't get into all the like what exactly would be there, but yes, all of that. Right, you're talking about places to live. You're talking about
So I'm looking at
restaurants and bars and all that kind of stuff, right? So I'm just going to call it an entertainment district.
Sure.
But I walked away with an overall, you know, just looking at it a lot different because I really didn't think it was possible to put something like that around Mile High the way it is now. But it is, and it was impressive. So I'm like, okay, something needs to be done, though, right? Something needs to be done, whether you put the entertainment district there and you upgrade Mile High, or you just take the whole stinking thing and you go out by the airport and you
correct.
Do something out
correct.
There.
Correct. And those right. are the only two options. There is no option of just keep it the way that it is.
Right. Exactly. And a new owner, Joe Ellis, told us that's yes. priority number one.
Priority number one. After the sale of the team is what do you want to do with Mile High? Do you want to make an upgrade and build out from there? But that probably would be, okay, no retractable roof, or do you want to start from ground zero out near the airport? And I know we say, like, we just say that over and over again, like, out near the airport. I don't know the details of right. what the land is out there and who owns it, and is that the only option? Is there an alternate site other than out near the airport?
Right.
Like, I just don't know. But I will tell you this, that I am looking at several like overhead views of Mile High. And when I drive past it on 25, I didn't quite realize that there is that much space around it, especially. And I don't know, again, I don't know if this is legitimately on the table, but like, is Elitch's in play? Like to,
I don't think so. Cause that's, I think that's Kroenke's.
Okay.
I think, you know, they own all that, and there was something reported, I believe, about, you know, that coming down and them doing, you know, apartments or whatever stuff around the ball arena. So
okay.
I don't think so.
Okay, no. So that's a totally separate thing that we could actually eventually see in time anyway.
Exactly.
But even just around Mile High, there is now the one thing I would say is like, where are you going to park if you are going to build out? Like legitimately the way that you're talking and the way that you've seen some of those plans.
You would have parking garages.
Okay.
I think that's what you would have to do there. But
build up.
Yep, exactly. But it was impressive, man. I walked away from it and I'm like, okay, I didn't know that was possible to do at Mile High because I think that's a big deal. If you are an owner, you need something like that, right? That, I mean, that's what you want. And it is possible to do. So you could do upgrades. I don't know what the upgrades would look like. I don't know if it's like, okay, well, we're going to do, you know, these upgrades are going to take a year and the Broncos have to play at CU for a year. I mean, when the Vikings did their stadium, you know, they played at Minnesota for like 2 years. So I don't know if it's that type of process or if it's just like, oh, we can do this throughout the course of the offseason stuff and get it done. But certainly you need improvements to Mile High, upgrades, right? And you need an entertainment district, and I think all that's possible there. But roofing Mile High,
probably off the table, right?
I would say 99% off the table. Yes,
either a car has a convertible or it doesn't. You don't add a convertible after you buy the stock car.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's a deal breaker. You know, I guess it's just
because
really-
here's the kicker, though. Here's the kicker with the roof. It's not just about like a game day, like, oh, we can open and close the roof. And I know I'm not telling you anything new, but when you add a roof, I think you could do a couple things. If you build a stadium with a roof, well, you can have events all year round. The monster trucks were just here 3 weeks ago. I brought my son to Supercross. Maybe they can come in the middle of winter on tour, where now that's just not an option. Maybe you can have concerts there throughout. Garth Brooks is here. Well, maybe he can come in January now. And you can have, you know, Taylor Swift in the summer. And like, you could just... Mile High doesn't... It's not being maximized right now. And I think a new place entirely with a roof would represent that. And I think you'd get a Super Bowl. I think the NFL has communicated that pretty squarely to, I mean, shoot, I guess even the Giants got a Super Bowl 48, but they didn't have a roof. And that's in the middle of winter in New York.
Yeah, but that was, you know, a big deal to get that stadium in New York. Obviously, two teams play there, and so that's why they they did get that. Unfortunately, we were there, and it wasn't good, wasn't fun.
Right.
But, yes, very fortunate there that, you know, the weather wasn't awful.
Yeah.
Caught a break there. But certainly that should be part of it. That's kind of how the NFL's operated. You build a new stadium, we'll hook you up with a Super Bowl. I mean, yep. Detroit got one.
Yep, we'll bring the Super Bowl to Minnesota. If you build a new stadium, we'll be there for the Super Bowl.
So that would be a nice thing to have, obviously. But you're right. You know, if you dome it, and you can just, you don't have to worry about the weather when you're doing other events. And, you know, retractable roof, look, if you want it to, if you want the elements, then you just leave it open.
Sure.
Yeah, okay, we want the elements here in Denver. We're just going to leave the stinking thing open,
a good example of that is Buffalo. They're building a new stadium. That does not have a retractable roof. That's like, no, we play in Buffalo.
Right.
Like, we're good with, like, just owning it. You got to come here and play in what we're used to. So, and here's a good question from Mac on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. And we're reacting. If you're just joining us, Stokely earlier in the week saw plans on a refurbished, updated, and built out Mile High. And you walked away very impressed. And you seem, you haven't said this outright, but you seem now, whereas if we had this conversation a month ago, it was kind of like, let's hit the reset button. Let's go out near the airport. Let's build one of those little cities. Let's get a retractable roof. Let's get a Super Bowl. And now you're at least open to the idea of, that doesn't
have to be that way.
Yeah.
Because you can actually do something really nice in the surrounding areas of Mile High and make it really nice and have that game day experience and do all the things that, you know, you kind of expect now in 2022 around your stadium and make it that type of a game day atmosphere. But it's not only game day atmosphere, it's year-long atmosphere where you're having people and you're having, you know, high rises up there and all kind of different things.
Restaurants, amphitheater.
Yes.
Yeah. So Mac asks, like, quite simply, can you guys explain why something has to be done with Mile High? Nothing really has to be done.
Right.
But if you want to stay in the same ballpark as the Joneses, it is a few decades old, a couple decades old, now into decade three, I believe, and at the early stages. And it's just, standalone stadiums are just outdated now, where it's just a stadium and a parking lot. That's just not the current construct of where we're at right now, let alone the future. So you'd be making a pretty big decision, by the way. Like, if you're deciding the future of Mile High, this isn't like a temporary thing. This would be like at least a decade moving forward. You say, like, this is good enough, we can build out, as opposed to we're going to jump on the train of the future and do it in a new and larger way. So,
yeah, I just think, you know, I mean, as well said, you're getting to a point now where Mile High is what, 30 years old or so, over 30 years old.
I think the first season was 99, I think.
Sounds about right. 09. I mean, so look, it's things have changed. And you look at what the Rockies did down there, McGregor Square, you know, for their kind of game day experience and what they have around there now, really, really nice. This is just where things are going.
Yeah.
And this is just part of it that, so it's, when you look at the overall whole situation and you look at what they don't have now and a new owner coming in, you put all that together, something's going to happen. And Joe Ellis tells us that's the number one thing for the new owner is to figure out the stadium situation. And he didn't just say that just slip of the tongue to just, you know, he said that for a reason, because stuff is going to be going down one way or another. There's going to be things happening, and it's going to either be a new stadium somewhere or it's going to be, you know, big-time changes to Mile High.
Yeah.
One of those things.
Yeah.
And it's just the way things are, what fans expect to when they do have that game day experience, I think. So does something have to be done? No, but yeah.
Yeah, that's actually perfectly put, even though it sounds backwards.
Right.
Does it have to be done? No, but yes.
Right.
And I'm seeing a ground broke in 99. It opened in 2001. Do you know how much the Rams stadium costs?
It was $4 or $5 billion.
$4 or $5 billion, right? That's kind of where this is going. Not that it has to be, you know, Kroenke World or Jerry's World, but when you build a stadium now, because of what they are, it's going to be a couple billion dollars. You know how much Mile High's construction was?
$750 million.
$400 million.
Wow.
That's it. That's it. You know what that is in 2021 dollars? I know we're in 2022, but the latest example was 2021. $650 million.
Wow.
That kind of tells a story unto itself. It's a piece of concrete with seats.
Yep.
That's kind of what it is. So I'm not calling it a dump, and I know some people do and take it to that extreme. I'm not. I like Mile High.
I do, too.
I like going a
Mile
High.
They've done a good job of keeping it up, and it is. I do like it. It's a nice stadium. It's a nice stadium. I toured the Cowboys Stadium during spring break. I mean, it's like, wow. It's like almost going into a museum.
I'll go back to what I just said. It's a nice stadium, but that's all it is.
Yep.
It's a nice stadium with a parking lot. So this is a very, very relevant conversation. And I wonder, first of all, we don't know what the direction is because we don't know what the new owner is going to do. But I wonder if the owner comes in and is like, no, we're not updating. I'm putting my fingerprint and we're going to build a small city.
Right. You know, hey, it's my team now. And this is what I'm going to do here.
Yeah, I'm not giving a facelift to the old thing. We're doing it all new. Does someone like Byron Allen have that type of...
That's right what I was thinking.
So we found out yesterday that Byron Allen is one, now not so silent, of candidates. He's one of the five. But Byron Allen is worth...
I mean, what are we doing?
Well, how about this? To bring it full circle. Byron Allen's net worth is what it cost to build Mile High 20 years ago. So does Byron Allen, maybe he has the spirit to want to do something, but does he have the personal finances to say, I'm the new owner, watch this. We're building it, I'm building it, I'm going to give X percent, we're going to get this percent from the state or whatever, tax, I don't know how it's all going to work. But does Byron Allen really have that type of maneuverability from a financial perspective?
No.
I don't think so, right?
No. Especially after just buying the team.
Right.
I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't get it. It's like, 2 + 2 = 10. I'm just trying to figure this thing out, how it works. How is this guy going to be the lead investor in the face of the franchise when he's only worth,
It's $450 million.
$450 million. I mean, who's putting up the money? Where's the money coming from?
Everyone else. It would have to be coming from everyone else.
If you're putting up the money, I'm not letting this dude be the face of the franchise. If I'm putting up $2 billion, I'm going to let that guy be the owner of the team? It makes no sense to me.
Who would do that? He would have to be like the principal owner, the majority investor, and then it wouldn't be three or four people. It would have to be like
30?
20. 30. Yep.
The NFL doesn't want to operate like that.
They don't. I think there's a cap on actually the number. I believe there's a cap on the number of...
The less, the better.
Yeah. Yes.
For the NFL.
I agree.
And for us as fans, the less, the better. Give me one dude, maybe two or three dudes, and maybe the one dude brings on a couple other people. That's cool, but we know who the dude is, right? We don't know who the dude is.
Right.
If it's Byron Allen and his group. Because he ain't the dude. This thing's going to be $5 billion, Zach. And this guy's worth $400 million?
Right.
Come on, man. This isn't high school. I mean, this is a big boy's table. You better have billions to get to this seat. I don't even know how he's got a seat. We might as well throw our name in the hat then.
Throw it together, the show?
Why not? Let's go find 30 investors. I mean, it makes no sense to me at all. I mean, zero. I can't even fathom that this guy gets to the end and that he's able to get the team. That'd be the biggest joke ever. I'd be depressed. Guy does not need to be owning a football team if he's only worth $400 something million.
I say that with all respect.
That's a lot of money.
Of course, but you're talking about the big boy table.
$5 billion team.
Yes.
And I want an owner that if he wants to build a new stadium and he goes out to the airport or goes wherever, that, you know what, hey, well, we're going to get so much public funds, but I got the other, $1.5 billion. Just like what's going on in Buffalo,
yep.
The Pegulas.
Yep.
All right, they're getting half of it from the state or whatever, and the other half, they're ponying up. The NFL's throwing in some money. That's what we want here. All right, I don't want Byron Allen saying, I don't have any money. My 50 investors don't want to pony up any money here.
And just from a structure of a football team, you don't want that many cooks in the kitchen.
No.
You really don't, especially obviously, considering his net worth, they're going to be heavily invested.
Yes.
It's not like, hey, I'm going to throw in $50 million as a novelty to follow the team and be in the box and, you know, get my dividends annually. Like, it's going to have to be, if he's only worth $450 million and the team's going to sell for $5 billion, that means other people are in it for hundreds of millions.
Yes. Who's going to be in it for hundreds of millions of dollars or maybe a billion and not want to be the face of the franchise? That doesn't make sense to me.
It's a really different. It doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't compute for me.
Yeah, yeah. I just wouldn't want 17 owners of the Broncos.
No, it's ridiculous.
And we're coming off the heels of, you know, a family who can't get along and are the current, you know, and not that they're the trust, but you got that many cooks in the kitchen, you just open yourself up for, like you said, a couple guys, one guy.
I want one guy with, you know, with the goods, and we know who's calling the shots.
Yeah.
We know who is writing the checks. And for me, right now, there's Mr. Walton, and then there's everyone else at the party, you know? And he's in a class by himself because he's worth $70 billion.
You could be, look, check this out. You got five candidates left, right? One of them could be the richest owner in the NFL by $50 billion. And another could be one of the poorest owners in the NFL.
Yeah. Who do you want? I mean, come on. Because, you know, you want your team to obviously be successful. And a big part of it is not caring about money. Right? I mean, that's a big part of it. Like, not being concerned about, you know, making a buck here and cutting corners here and doing it this way there. I mean, and if you're worth $70 billion, now you might operate like you're trying to make a profit. I got it. But at the same time, you know, you're not penny pinching. And you're not looking out for other investors. You operate how you want to operate.
Right. Now, Pat Bowlen was the perfect owner for the Broncos because he wanted to do right by the Broncos at every single turn. But financially, the way that the Broncos had to operate was sometimes problematic. Where you're taking out a $2 million loan to pay a signing bonus, that's not healthy from a financial standpoint for a team that's worth $5 billion. Byron Allen sort of represents some of those, like, could there be issues down the line? I know there's not going to be any issues with Robert Walton. That's for sure.
Yeah, well, when that happened, that was a long time ago, or longer ago, right?
Wasn't much more than 10 years ago.
Yeah, I don't think that that's an issue probably for the NFL right now and owners, you know, to be able to write those checks. But certainly some of these checks.
I'm not talking about for $2 million. I'm talking about if you have to write a check for $250 million fully guaranteed for Russell Wilson, that's more than half Byron Allen's net worth.
Yeah. When you start looking at some of these signing bonuses, you know, where now it's $40 or $50
million. Yes.
Yeah, you're right. And this guy's worth, you know, he's only worth, you know, $400 million. I mean, that's his.
You have current athletes worth more than Byron Allen.
Yeah. But what, you know, what is he? How much does he have to put of that $400 million?
He's going to have liquidate everything.
Right. Into the Broncos. I don't get it, man. I don't even know how he got into the five. I don't know how. It makes no sense to me.
The thing that I don't like the most is that do the Broncos now have 17 owners?
Yeah. It's awful. That's not how we want to operate.
That's just not healthy if given a choice. If given a choice, that's not healthy. I think of an old Jay-Z line. They said, Hove, there's not many of us. I told him, less is more, bro. There's plenty of us. So I want one or two, three, less is more. No 17 owners. Like Byron Allen would, even if he liquidated every dollar he had, he wouldn't be owning 20% of what it's going to go for.
And how is that guy going to be the face of your franchise? Can't be. It doesn't work out. The math doesn't work out here. It just doesn't compute. But anyway, hopefully we get an owner with big pockets, and whatever needs to happen and that owner wants to happen, hopefully he has the backing. I mean, I think we all want that, right, where he just says, okay, yeah, that's fine. You know, I mean, you're going to have to come up with some money from the city, but at the same time, this guy's pocketbook's just like, no issue here. Here's a billion.
Even if you considering Byron Allen's $450 million net worth, even if you didn't want to build the new stadium, even if it's upgrading Mile High, it's going to cost $100 million. And where is that? Can he afford that, you know, tear down outside of building a small city? Very interesting.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting. We'll see how this one ages. He seems like he could be a part of someone else's ownership.
Yes,
group.
Yes, exactly.
And be a minority owner.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I don't see him being the face of the franchise and being the principal owner. That doesn't compute for me. I just having a hard time with that one.
I was not expecting to hear his name yesterday, but that was the news. Yep. We were talking about last week. We're like, the Byron Allens of the world are out because this thing's going for five.
Right.
Byron Allens of the world are out. Apparently, he's been in. We'll see how it ages. The Colorado Avalanche second round task came into focus last night. What's the vibe? We'll dive into it next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
The Colorado Avalanche second round task coming into focus last night. Dude, the NHL is such a fun place right now. Oh, my gosh. Stoked tomorrow. We're going to have three game sevens tomorrow.
Wow.
Back to back to back. It's Bruins Hurricanes at 2:30 in the afternoon on ESPN, game seven. Lightning Maple Leafs, game seven in Toronto. And then you got Kings and Oilers, game seven in Edmonton. And we may have more on the way because we have a game six here tonight, Penguins and Rangers. I actually think that I think that series ends tonight. How about the President's Trophy winner, Florida Panthers, on the road tonight, game six in Washington, the Capitals giving the Florida Panthers everything that they can handle. So maybe that ends up going seven. And then you have another game six tonight in Dallas, late night on TNT. Not late night, 7:30. It's the last of the three, Flames in Dallas for game six. But last night, it was the Minnesota Wild losing, getting drummed, really, by St. Louis by the score of 5-1. So that series ends in six. And it's a second round rematch of last year's first round.
Love it. Love it. Do we know when it starts? Like when the first game is?
I'm glad you asked that because that series is over.
Yeah.
And the Avs series is over. They ended on a Thursday night. So obviously you're not going to play on a Friday. You're probably not going to play on a Sunday. But apparently the game may be as late as Tuesday.
Wow.
Which is kind of unusual if you ask me.
We literally don't know yet. Okay.
It's thought to be a Monday or Tuesday. I was hoping that they'd get started on Sunday.
Right. Yeah. I think that would be best for the Avs. Like, let's make them not get a lot of rest. But if it's going to be Tuesday, I mean, it gives St. Louis a ton of rest also.
Totally.
And then I start worrying about too much rest for us. Right? I mean, I don't want that much rest. I mean,
good point.
Need two
good
weeks.
Point. Yeah.
Because the Avs have been done now since we're going to be week coming up this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, when did that series end? Did that your series end on Sunday? It was Monday.
Okay.
It was Monday the 9th was game four.
Okay. I mean, it feels like it was 3 weeks ago. So that's just, 4 days ago?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
But
it'll be a week and maybe 8 days if they don't get started till Tuesday.
I wanted the other team not to get a lot of rest. And we saw that last year when it was Vegas and they had to rest their guys the first game. It worked out pretty nicely for us in that game. Now the
7-1, yeah.
But, all right, look, it's playoffs, whatever. Just be ready to rock and roll. Great, obviously, first round series against Nashville. Now it's St. Louis again. And looking forward to it, man. I mean, I've missed. You know, the Avs, because last night, turned the TV on, and it was Carolina and Boston, mm-hmm. right? And I'm like, man, God, it feels like 3 weeks ago that
I know, you get into a flow every other night.
And now, you know, because they swept.
Yeah.
We only got four games out of it. It's like we're watching all these other teams, but I want Avs. I want to see, you know, McCarr again and McKinnon and... You know, it was fun. It was fun, and now I miss it.
Business is about to pick back up. I am going to try to do everything in my power to be in the building for game one. I'm going to try to do everything in my power. Was that game one and game two in the past series? I would love to, like, I don't want to say I would love to, I would love to make every game.
Sure.
And pull a mini D-Mac.
A baby D-Mac.
Right. Didn't miss a home game this season. I would love to be at every single home playoff game. We'll see if I'm able to swing that with everything I got going on at home. Darcy Kuemper has been cleared for game one. All right, so starting goaltender is going to be back between the pipes.
Huge news. Great news.
Love it.
He's had a lot of time to rest now. It's great. It's great. I mean, all things considered, best case scenario, really. Yeah. I mean, when he was rolling off the ice and covering his eye, I mean, you start thinking, like, this thing is, it's what a disaster.
Yeah.
I mean, just like that, this guy might be out for all of the playoffs. Like, what happened to his eye? And the news from there just got better and better, and now he will be returning. And that's just great news, man. Great news.
You know, you just sparked a thought with the eye thing. Joel Embiid breaking his orbital bone, couldn't look at his iPhone for almost a week. They said the light gave him a migraine. It's like a pretty serious thing.
Wow.
But I have to tell you, just as a basketball fan from afar, it was a little bit fantastic watching the Philadelphia 76ers implode. James Harden and Ben Simmons last night took the same amount of shots in the second half. And Ben Simmons hasn't played a game since I have.
Wow.
James Harden went into the freaking tank. And in the post game, Joel Embiid said, "This isn't Houston James Harden anymore." That's his teammate. That's his teammate. Doc Rivers, another implosion team. I mean, it is...
He didn't take one shot in the second half?
What was the stat wrong, Dante? Did he take a shot in the second half?
No. The stat was Ben Simmons' last game in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
Same. They both took two shots and missed both.
Okay. Ben Simmons' last game. No,
so they both took two. That's it.
Wow. Dude, Harden just turned into a shell of himself as a player. This guy was an MVP 3 years ago. This guy was putting on scoring displays that we literally hadn't quite seen in NBA history. And the way he was doing it, this guy doesn't get to the free throw line anymore. That's the one thing that, like, he would always do, is he find a way to the free throw line. You know how many free throws he took last night? Zero. Uh-huh. How many taken the game before? Three. Three free throws for James Harden in the final two games? Just a disaster there in Philly.
Yeah, well, now what do you do? I think he's a free agent. I think he's going to be a free agent. So how do you navigate those waters if you're Philly? Because it seems like the end is coming here pretty soon for James Harden. I mean, he has really regressed in the past year and a half. Ever since forcing his way out of Houston, he has regressed. Now, can he get it back and say, you know, I'm going to work on, like, getting in great shape? I mean, that certainly would help, but that's not his M.O.
So it looks like he's under contract for one more season, which is basically almost like being a free agent in NBA circles. Because if you don't get something from him, you got to make a decision as a franchise.
Right.
Move him to somewhere else and try to recoup something, or let him play out the last year in his deal and him potentially not sign with you and you walk away with nothing.
Yeah.
So fascinating scenario there. Okay. We'll probably be on the air on Monday. Looking forward to Monday night's Avs game one of the second round. Hopefully that's the case. I'd like to see that on Monday instead of Tuesday, but we'll just have to wait maybe another 24 hours on that. One team in the AFC West has a schedule that is going to make NFL history, and it's actually a great thing for the Denver Broncos. Hang tight. We'll get there next.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
One team in the AFC West has a schedule that is literally going to make history. And it's a great thing for the Denver Broncos. Any idea what I'm talking about here, Mr. Stokely?
I have a guess. You're talking about maybe how much they travel,
like how many miles, mm-hmm. right? Or you're talking about like four in a row road games.
So
those are my guesses.
I like where your head's at. That's not the direction that we're going. But how about this for a stat? The Pittsburgh Steelers are somehow not going to leave their time zone in the entire season. That is unheard of.
What?
Yes. I have no idea how, but they aren't leaving their time zone. Broncos are going to travel quite a bit in terms of miles. They're right near the top of, you know, the miles logged in the air. Now, these guys are first class, everything, so it's not quite like it used to be, but still, there's something to be said for it. The direction that I'm going here when I say one team in the AFC West has a schedule that is literally making NFL history, and it's a great thing for the Broncos, talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs' 2022 schedule is unprecedented in NFL history. Kansas City will open with eight straight opponents who had winning records last year. That makes the Chiefs the first team ever to start the season with eight consecutive games against teams that had a winning record, according to Elias Sports Bureau.
Wow. Love it. It's and then the changes that they made,
mm-hmm.
you know, with no Tyreek Hill, they're going to be a different football team, obviously, trying to get younger. Sometimes that takes a little while. We're you know, that's, I love hearing that. Broncos fans should love hearing that.
This is their schedule. All right, I got the first eight games. Week one, on the road at the Arizona Cardinals, who were 11-6 last year, and the best version of themselves were in the beginning of the year. Week two, they got the Chargers. That'll be a standalone game on Thursday Night Football.
Wow.
Then you have week three.
It's a great Thursday Night Football game.
It is. It is. And that's the first ever Amazon one. The first Thursday Night Football game they're going to handle traditionally.
Okay.
Kind of like wet your beak. Then you come back the next week, you better have Amazon, which is a whole nother conversation we got to have because
yeah.
I don't have Amazon.
I don't know how do we, what do we do?
I'm the guy. So there's two things, funny things about us. You've never pulled money out of an ATM in your life, right?
Nope.
Is that still true?
Yep.
Never one time pulled money out of an ATM. And I never one time have purchased anything off Amazon. Amazon like runs the world now. I've never.
Well, you never bought anything from Amazon? Like
no.
No?
No. I told you that last year.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. That's odd, man. I mean, you just get on Amazon like, oh, yeah, I forgot I needed that.
That's what my wife does. It shows up at the door every day.
Yeah.
It's like she takes her sister pays the annual fee, and then, like, we get packages dropped off every day. Like, where does this stuff come from? It's like manna from heaven just on our doorstep every day. Anyway, Chief.
What was the whole, why'd you have to tell us her sister pays her fees or whatever?
I don't know. It just felt natural.
I don't know how that got in there.
Because I think it's like $100 a year or $99 a year, and then you get like free shipping, I think, something like that.
Yeah, like if you're Prime?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you're a Prime member.
But they let you keep up to like four cards on there. So Amazon knows what they're doing. They're letting you keep four cards on there. They don't care as long as you're buying Amazon. Someone's paying the fee. I don't know. Maybe shouldn't have shared that.
No need to.
The Chiefs at the Cardinals. Hosting the Chargers at the Colts, Tom Brady and the Bucks, week four. The Raiders, week five. The Buffalo Bills, week six. That's prime time as well. Week seven, at the San Francisco 49ers. They get a bye week eight and have the Titans week nine. It is the first time in NFL history that a team will open up with eight straight opponents who had a winning record the previous season.
Wow. Love it.
They can't afford to start slow. They'll be in a hole.
Yeah. They started slow last year.
They did.
And they got things obviously figured out there later in the season, but they started really slow last year. This is why we love the schedule release.
Yep.
Because, like, now we know. Boom. We knew, you know, who the teams were, but where they're at on the schedule, when the primetime games are, and then now you get stuff like that where, man, I mean, it's going to be a tough start for Kansas City. They better be on top of it.
Better be on top of it. Now, for the Raiders, it's the inverse. The Raiders finished their season with six straight opponents that should all be in the playoff hunt. Here's the Raiders' final six games of the year. Home against the Chargers, on the road against the Rams, home against the Patriots, on the road against Pittsburgh, home against the San Francisco 49ers, home against the Chiefs.
Okay.
So that's a really strong stretch to finish their schedule. So, you know, maybe they're 500 going into that stretch and come out on the wrong end of it. The Chargers, how about the Chargers start to their season? The Chargers start the season with an opener against the Raiders at home, but the Raiders are the most popular team in Los Angeles. So they're at home against the Raiders, and then they turn around and are on a short week on Thursday Night Football against Kansas City.
Okay, so they open with the Raiders?
Yep.
And then they have the short week and play the first game on Amazon.
Correct. So it's like, man, you got a short week to start your season.
Not ideal at all, really. So very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, just different dynamics for every team in the West.
And then you look at the Broncos' start, and it's like, I mean, I don't know if you could really ask for a better
Stoke. You couldn't. It's schedule. Not quite last year, but.
And the start and how it's set up, and we'll dive into this thing. But, you know, when you throw out all that other stuff, I mean, it's like things are kind of lining up for me here.
You know, you're not crazy for saying that. You're not crazy for saying that. You look at Seattle week one. Let's just talk about the quarterbacks here. Just a quick isolated conversation. We will go through game by game here and pick the Broncos record. But Seattle week one, you're playing either Drew Lock or Geno Smith as it stands right now. Pretty ideal out of the gate. Now, it's going to be a wild atmosphere there in Seattle, and we'll talk about it here when we pick our games. Then week two, you have Davis Mills and the Houston Texans. And then week three, damn good roster, well coached, but you have a young and experienced quarterback and what we're assuming is Trey Lance. Those are the first three quarterbacks you play this season. Either Drew Lock or Geno Smith, Davis Mills, and Trey Lance. It's not quite Giants, Jets, Jags
right.
from 2021, but with this iteration of the schedule, it's probably the closest thing to it.
Yeah, it's a nice start. It is. It's set up nicely for the Broncos to get off to a fast start, just like it was set up last year for them to get off to a good start, and they did. And then they just fizzled, you know, out, of course, but... But look at me, going back to that Seahawks thing, we had Mike Salk on.
Yeah, Mike Salk.
Earlier, and we were talking about Russell Wilson, and I wanted to kind of get back to this and what kind of reception he might get
mm-hmm.
in Seattle. And Mike was saying, well, you know, you don't usually introduce the opposing team, whatever, so there's no time to really boo him. But there is. Right when he comes out for that first snap is when you let your feelings be known. Right when the quarterback runs out there, you're either going to hear cheers or you're going to hear boos. So that's the time that they're able to let, you know, their voices be heard is when he runs out there for that first snap.
You brought up a good point with a tribute video. I want to circle back to that at a certain point in time, too. We are going to take a quick timeout. We're going to hear from the head coach, Nathaniel Hackett, live from rookie minicamp coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.